welcome to a special edition of the Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your usual host, Clarence Moy, and today I'm bringing you my interview with one of my very favorite actors, Gary Oldman. Sid and Nancy, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Sirius Black in the Harry Potter series, Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy, those are a few of the most famous performances that Oldman has given in his storied career. And, of course, who can forget his iconic Academy Award-winning performance as Winston Churchill in Darkest Hour? But it's his work in David Fincher's Mank, currently streaming on Netflix, that I think is one for the ages. His complicated and multi-layered performance is drawn in black and white and feels uniquely of that 1930s era that film so perfectly captures. Here, Oldman talks to me about how he created the character with little real-life detail. He also talks about acting in the absence of prosthetics. And finally, he talks about performing his 8-minute monologue in the infamous circus party sequence nearly 100 times. Now, for those of you who are counting at home, that's 800 minutes of monologuing. So sit back and enjoy my podcast interview with Mank's Gary Oldman, and of course, watch for more podcast interviews from Awards Daily as we head into the heat of awards season.
Good evening, Gary. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. I hope you're sheltering well and staying safe and healthy in all of this COVID madness.
Yes, we've been following all the protocols, doing our best to hibernating away, all the family. We're doing good. Yeah. Excellent. My son got it. My son got it. But fortunately, he had a mild case of it. But it's a virus and it's going to do what it does.
That it will. So before we get started on Mank, I do have to say, I have always been a massive, massive fan of your performance in Dracula. I love your take on Dracula. I have watched that thing 20, 30 times since I was 16 years old. I saw it in the theaters 3 times when I was there. I love that movie. I love the gothic nature of it. I love just all the huge, the massive strokes, the big grand strokes, grand guignol aspect of it. I love everything about it. So I couldn't not talk to you and tell you that.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. Yeah. I haven't seen it for a few years, for a long time actually, but, that was quite an experience. Yeah.
I can imagine. So moving on to David Fincher's Mank, when you take a look at the character of Herman Mankiewicz, what did you find most challenging about playing him?
Well, I felt that you had to bring a certain degree of likability and charm to the role. He's a gambler, he's a boozer, he's not always the best husband. He can be pretty cruel to people. I think so. One of the challenges was, there's a lot of one-liners that he has that are they're very funny, but I felt that they could come over as a little harsh or snarky, and it's finding that balance of snark and charm. Mm-hmm. So that was a thing that was very much dependent on the frequency and the delivery of them. So that was a challenge. And also, I do like the sort of dressing up part of it. And I do like to hide a bit. Mm-hmm. And David was not concerned that I look like Mankiewicz or whatever. So he just basically said to me, look, I want you as naked as you can be. I don't want any kind of veneer or veil between you and the audience. So I don't want wigs. I don't want anything that will keep you in a makeup chair or in a trailer. I want you on set and I want to be shooting. And that unnerved me for 5 minutes. I mean, once you got on the bicycle, it was great, and I felt that we made the right decision. But I felt a little. I felt a little naked in the beginning.
Yeah. So I talked to Gigi Williams, the makeup designer, who actually mentioned that, you know, you wanted to go that prosthetics route. So how do you, as an actor, modulate, do you modulate your performance if you are encapsulating makeup within your performance, or, and, you know, versus being, as David said, naked as possible? Do you make different choices?
No, I think you just, you, if you're wearing a mask, you ignore the mask. I think initially there's the comfortable factor. If you're playing Churchill, you're not only in prosthetics, you're also in a padded suit, and it makes going to the bathroom a little more challenging. It's very hot, and these are things that you then just acclimate to. And once you're over the initial sensation of all of that, it's life as normal. Yeah, I don't think you make a special adjustment. If you're being honest, then hopefully you still have the eyes. And you mentioned Dracula. Look at what has happened to prosthetic makeup since. I mean, that was foam rubber back then, with these huge big glass scleral lenses. And I sound like Boris Karloff, you know, back in the old day when I was doing monster movies. You know, it was a little more archaic even back then. It's not so long ago. And what we've accomplished now with the flexible lenses and the work that Kazu did on Darkest Hour, it's quite a sort of a remarkable thing. But you don't play the mask.
Right. So given there aren't many, or if any, actual films of Herman Mankiewicz, you know, there's just not that much of him. You have the script, obviously. What other kind of research did you do to try to create that character, just to make it live off the page?
Well, I read around the script, and Jack Fincher, David's father, who's written the screenplay, I feel had really done his homework. Not only was he a fan of this era of movies, but what I was reading outside of the script very much matched up with what I was reading on the page. I felt that Jack had captured an essence or a real spirit of Mank. Remarkably so. And so a great deal of my work was in the text and done for me. It did not require contemporary acting. David wanted it to have a patina, a veneer of the old way of acting in those movies, you know, before Montgomery Clift and James Dean and Brando turned it an evolutionary notch. There was a particular style of it, of acting, and that was also very much in the script. What I did, because there is no any footage really of Mank, I went to John Mankiewicz. I went to the brother, and I figured, and he had a particular cadence and a way of speaking. And I borrowed from that, figuring that the apple wouldn't fall very far from the tree. Years ago, I had a friend who had a brother, and if they got on the phone, only over the telephone, but you couldn't tell which one you were speaking to. They sounded exactly the same. So I figured, let me start there as a springboard, with Mank, Joseph, and then you know maybe a little bit of Burgess Meredith growl thrown in, and then you know make it your own. So you steal from all these different things, and then that becomes, then it, you know, you own it. It becomes your own thing. Yeah.
I want to ask you about the circus party sequence where you have, I haven't timed the monologue, but it's 5-6 minute monologue. It's a long piece.
I think it's 8 minutes. Yeah.
8 minutes. Wow.
I think so. Yeah.
Given, you know, the size of that monologue and given David's penchant for recording things multiple times, obviously capturing, getting that right take, how did you do that? How did you make it through that? How did you persevere? What kind of stamina did it take to get through that sequence?
Well, you knew that it was, we went in there, we went onto the set and we kind of walked it a few times and he worked out where he was going to sort of the angles and where he was going to put the camera. I mean, you hear these stories out there that it was 100 takes. I don't know if it ever got up to 100. It was maybe, it could have been in the 70s, in the mid 70s. But it's 8 minutes long. There's a lot of people in it. There's a lot of moving parts to it. So he didn't do, you know, he didn't do 70 takes on me. He may have done 13 takes and then changed the axis and then did another 5 or another 10. And then I'm on the other side of the room and then he brings the camera around and then he picks up and he does another whatever 20 takes of that. And then he's got Marion and then he's got Hurst and then he's got Louis B. Mayer and he's got all the other guests at the table and then he's got the wide shot and he's got the medium and then he's going in. So we shot that over 5 days. But I probably did the speech off camera for the other actors and also for the day players. I probably did the speech over 100 times.
Wow.
Yes.
That's 800 minutes of monologue.
Of talking. Great fun.
Excellent.
What can I say? It was a joy to be there and, you know, great. You're with a great company of people. You want to give them, you know, David wants commitment. You just be prepared to come and bring your A game. And I think everybody did that across the creative board in terms of set, costume, cinematography, sound. I mean, it's its own little masterpiece there, I think.
Well, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for the performance. It was a tremendous performance. I love the film and I loved your performance. It's really one for the ages. Thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you very much.
Take care.
All right. Take care, Clarence.
Bye-bye.